This is CliffCentral.com.
Happy Valentine's Day. Hello, Country Duty listeners. Welcome to Cliff Central on Country Duty on Cliff Central. Thank you very much for joining us. How are you, Siasi?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm okay. I'm just trying to figure out, Jorge, like, you know, now, the sad love songs on such a beautiful Wednesday.
Before I even get and discuss the songs, I just want to say happy Valentine's to our listeners. I hope the day has been less dramatic than the current state of affairs. But welcome to the Country Duty Show on cliffcentral.com. Please join our discussion via WhatsApp, 079-748-2090. And our studio number is
0861-555-189.
Today's show is going to be very interesting. We're firstly going to discuss the VETS SRC solutions regarding student funding and the likes, and we'll then move on to Makoloza, as they call him on Twitter. But I think it's very important to welcome the VETS SRC. They were supposed to be here last week. They tendered the apology, they had emergencies. But the reason that they're here today is to talk about the funding crisis that we are currently faced with. What's important, and as most people would know, is there's free education that's been announced, and mostly first years are covered and stuff. We have a few questions for them, and then they'll tell us about themselves, what is it that they're doing, and how they're doing it. SG?
Yeah, very glad to have you guys on the show. Thank you very much for joining us. So can you tell us a little bit about the funding programs and how you guys started it and all that?
Yeah, sure. Thank you for having us. My name is Uridiretse Masebe, and I'm the president of the VITS SRC, right? So what happens at the university level is that on a yearly basis, come your January time, February time, this is the period where students need to register.
Yeah.
And so following the brave announcement of the President of the Republic in late 2017
yes.
to... tender free education for South African students, a lot of us were excited, anxious and confused as to how this announcement is going to work.
Yeah.
Right. But upon close investigation and observation of the pronouncement, we realized that, look, this announcement, great as it might have been, was only going to cater for first-time entering students. So these are students who are coming from your high schools or students who in the previous year were not studying at a varsity. So this pronouncement only covered those students. And furthermore, it only covered students who came from households of about 350K
yeah.
below. So
yes.
combined households of 350K and below. So there was a jump from the 122K bracket to a 350K combined household income. And that was well and good. We were all excited. We were all happy to have this kind of response from the state, knowing that the university sector, the tertiary sector in the country has been fighting for financial relief and access to higher education.
But just before you go, and I know SG had asked you about what you guys are doing, but maybe if you could just give us a bit of background as well. You guys came into office when?
On the 1st of November 2017.
1st of November 2017. And obviously there was a previous administration. There had to be handovers and stuff like that. What are over and above, and we'll talk about the solutions and stuff, what is it that you've experienced as the new, I'd say, caretakers of the university or the student's voice, as the VETS SRC, and maybe just highlight some of the challenges. And thereafter we can talk about the extent of the first years. You know, how many have you guys assisted, at the very least, if any? What were their P's, if anything? And then maybe you could get on to what is it that you're doing.
Sure. So administratively, right, we came into an SRC that was completely distraught and dysfunctional. I mean, as an existing structure.
Yeah.
Because most of what was going on was a lot of, I don't know how to call it, freelancing, freestyling, and a lot of complacency.
Yes.
So when we came on that structure, one of our biggest mottos was that we are going to transform the idea of serving, of representing and leading students to an idea of serving students and being there for students.
Yeah.
But that is very difficult because you must remember that we are the EFF, mm-hmm. Student Command, right? And we come from a very aggressive, very radical, very robust form of engagement and approaching issues and matters.
Yes.
And so we had to adjust from being those kinds of activists to now being people who form part of a governing structure.
Yes.
That has its own codes of conduct, that has its own sort of limitations.
Yes.
And directives. So one of our biggest struggles has been the transition from being an activist group on campus to being a governing structure on campus that now must take certain amounts of responsibility before engaging on student issues and student matters.
Great.
So our biggest challenge has been that, and we've always known this, I mean really, as the EFF on Wits campus, that the SRC has no power.
Yeah.
Right. It is basically a borderline useless structure.
Would you say it was a management mouthpiece to a certain extent?
It was a management mouthpiece because we are the ones who have to get a lot of the fire that goes towards management, and we have to deal with it because we are the ones who interact with students on the most direct basis.
Yeah.
Right. On the first interaction level, we are the ones who go to students. But then you find that most of your inputs, according to management, are secondary. So you are not necessarily the primary focus of the university,
yes.
Even though you are representing a student body of about 37,000 students,
yes.
Right? Your contributions and your inputs are not the most important.
Yeah.
And even the way that SRC constitution is set up, it's very limiting, and you're not given the prerogative of actually doing the business of representing students. Mm-hmm. So those are some of the fundamental things that we had to question and challenge.
Mm-hmm.
And you'd find that the establishment of these structures are so rigid that it's very difficult. Mm-hmm. You have to now balance the act of being an activist,
yes,
and being at the same time a responsible student leader.
Sure. No, I mean, I can imagine the task was probably hectic. But, you know, universities open 2018. There's this huge announcement coming in and everyone is lining up. I mean, it was confusing. I remember we had Mukovo. Yes, yeah, who was, you know, discussing, and I think he broke it down very well. But, you know, to people who were at home, who always wanted to get to university, this meant that there's a change in things. And we need to, I think, give credit where it's due. Where, you know, ordinarily there's a means test and that qualifies certain people, but certain would only get admitted. In this instance, it opened it up. And we now find ourselves where there's a huge tons of student on the line. Surely first years have approached you and they've said, listen, how can you assist? What have you guys done in that regard?
Look, I think the Wits SRC, and specifically outside of the structure,
yeah,
has been very efficient and effective in terms of assisting first year students. Remember earlier on in the year with the whole controversy of the CIC Julius Malema saying and encouraging that everyone who had not been able to register to universities and tertiary institutions because of a lack of funds must now go and register.
Yeah.
And I must say that our structure and the EFF on campus in general was very efficient in terms of the amount of first-time entering students we were able to assist. I mean, outside of the people who had applied and were actually granted spaces officially by the university, we were able to register about 600 plus people.
Yeah.
And so we literally put the university in a corner where we forced them that, you know what, look at the academics of the student. Look at how brilliant they've performed throughout their high school life.
Yes.
Tell me that this person does not deserve to be in a university. And so we're very strategic and tactical about it, but at the same time, we stepped on a lot of toes because people expected that we would follow the protocols, the procedures, and
yes,
say, you know
always.
What, you did not apply.
Yes.
And we were unfortunately not in that position.
Yeah.
And so we had to endorse, on the basis of principle, the idea that whether or not you had applied to Wits University, if you have a brilliant academic transcript, you are going to get a space.
Yeah.
And that's what we're able to achieve for a lot of students. I mean, I'm telling you, on estimation level, I could say 600 plus students that we personally took by hand to different faculties and registered, even though they had not applied.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think that's excellent. And it shows the robust nature of things. So people come in, there's free education, and I'm glad that, you know, stampedes, there's always that view regarding stampedes. I mean, even the media, the student bodies were characterized as being responsible for calling for people to go out and register and stuff like that. How was it at Wits? I mean, I'm a student there, but I wasn't really on the ground and stuff. But you guys were, you know, on hand and dealing with it live. What was your experience with that regard?
Look, the issue, the fear It's not an issue, it's a fear of stampedes. It's largely due to a huge misdiagnosis of the problem of access to higher education in South Africa, largely on the part of the government and on the part of higher institutions. Because if you look at why stampedes happen, stampedes are an administrative error. Stampedes are not necessarily something that is guaranteed. So on the side of the universities, on the side of governments, what they should have focused on was strengthening and reinforcing the administrative muscle and capability of registration processes across the country, instead of saying, look, we're going to take everything online in order to avoid stampedes. Because I can assure you that in most cases, a lot of students who actually were given offers to study at Wits University were unable to register because of the issue of access to online platforms, online services.
Yes.
So in a sense, the universities and the government grossly misdiagnosed the problem.
Yeah.
And hence I'm saying, I can give an example that, I mean, over the January period, we were able to register over 500 people.
Yes.
And I'm saying that's 600 plus. And there was never an incident of a stampede at Wits University.
At least, but you know, at other universities, I'm not sure if it's University of Limpopo or otherwise, that there was a similar incident of that nature. And that was through a call that was done by, I think, the EFF student leadership.
No.
Surely that was irresponsible to a certain extent.
And hence I say the irresponsibility is not with the side of the student leaders or the student structures. The irresponsibility is because of the universities, the institutions, and the government not applying their minds to how we're going to administratively deliver and implement what the president had pronounced in 2017. Right? I mean,
but everyone was taken by surprise. I mean, really.
And
it's December. This guy potentially will go, and he says, "I'm dropping this bombshell," and we found ourselves there.
And I mean, okay. So I will give credit where it's due to the Department of Higher Education, in the sense that when they implemented their central application cash house system, they were to a certain degree able to sort of divert the amount of foot traffic that would be going onto campuses come the date of registration.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, we saw it in University of Limpopo, we saw it in TVET colleges, we saw it even in the University of South Africa, where stampedes occurred. And again, my base argument is that the problem is, how do you roll out administrative functions? We've seen it happen across the board when it comes to NSFAS applications, when there were still physical applications.
Yeah.
So the problem is, how do you churn out administrative processes? You can't just let a line of 10 people turn over a period of 1 hour into a line of 10,000 people. Surely there's something administratively that you are not doing correctly.
Yeah.
And then you're going to blame those who call on people to take responsibility and say, you know what, go to campus, go and try to register. And you want to put the blame on their court.
No, I hear you, and I think it's a fair point. But it goes back to what, you know, Katlego was asking. He said, you guys then find SRC first years coming in, government has catered for them. What we are seeing on hashtag country duty and some of the requests that are coming in is first, second years, third years, people who've been in the system, they seek funding. What is it that you guys actually are doing to cater for that, I'd say, class of people who are not covered by this free education? Is there something that you're doing, or, you know, you're taking it as it comes?
So, and I mean, that has been the shortcoming of the president's grand pronouncement, right? It was that it only caters for first-time entering students.
Yeah.
So ironically, these are not the students in 2015, 2016 who went to the street to picket and protest and demonstrate about access to higher education.
Mm-hmm.
So what the president of the Republic, I don't know to call him the former or the ongoing, the concurrent president.
Yeah, no,
it's a pending
type of things. But
what he did was that he only catered this solution to a cohort of students and left an entire cohort out in the cold. And so you have the majority of the people who actually occupy seats in our institutions are people who are returning students.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, this pronouncement does not cater to them.
Yeah.
So you have your second years, you have your third years, you have your final year students who are about to graduate, who are not covered by the pronouncement of the president.
Yes.
And so what we have been able to do, realizing this gap at Wits University, was that we approached management and we said, look, we have one demand. Let every returning student who has still outstanding fees in the account balance be allowed to register.
Okay.
And obviously we had to now fight with management because they said it's not financially feasible. We don't have the funds. The problem is with government. And then you go to government, NSFAS says it's Department of Higher Education.
Yes.
Doe Head says it's the
presidency. So there are bottlenecks.
The presidency says it's, yes, it's the finance
you're
minister.
Going from door
you know,
to
so
door.
You're going from pillar to post, from door to door.
Yes.
And so we ended up in a situation where we had to put the management in a corner.
Yep.
And we literally said, you know what? One of you here is not going to leave this meeting because we can't accept a situation where we're going to leave the meeting,
yes,
with our hands empty. And so we're able to convince the chief financial officer of the university to redirect certain donor funds that already existed within the university towards the plight of returning students who had historical outstanding debt.
I see.
To the tune, so we established a fund to the tune of about 10M.
Yeah, right. I mean that's a lot of money.
That
also means that you have students, as you correctly said, who are ordinarily excluded, mm-hmm, who will now be in a position to come in. And these are third, second, you know, or final year students. So the university, as far as I understand you, are sitting in excess or surplus amounts, which are from alumni, donors and stuff like that, and not releasing that. And you guys approached them and said, we need this thing to be catered for.
Sure.
I mean, what was their response, though? Because surely they'll tell you that, you know, we need to look at sustainability long term. We need to, you know, not rush these things and stuff like that. Were they receptive?
I mean, obviously, the university's first response is to be hostile, right? Especially when it comes to demands of their pockets. So whenever you're asking them to cock out something, they'll obviously be hostile. They'll be antagonistic towards you. But I mean, we went into the sitting very aggressive with the attitude that we're not going to turn back empty handed. And I'll state explicitly that we're not necessarily disappointed with the 10 million that they were able to give to our fund, yeah, but we're not at the same time the most excited,
yeah,
because we understand the nature of the problems financially that our students face, particularly returning students.
Yes.
And so we are of the view that if they can raise 10 million, they can certainly raise 15 million.
Okay.
And if they can raise 15 million, they can certainly raise more.
So just in the interest of time, I want to know then, what do students need to do, or how do you qualify the students who then will be paid for from this fund? What do you look at? What do they need to do? How do they apply for it? Or who do they go to?
So the fund, for clarity purposes, is already allocating money towards certain students. But the fund was primarily set up for the purposes of helping students, returning students, to be able to register.
Okay. So it's only for second years upwards?
It's only for returning students.
And regardless of what your family income is?
No. So the criteria that we look at firstly is the combined household income.
It's still the same criteria as the first years. It's just that it's not
it's a tailor-made NSFAS criteria, if I could put it like that, because it's specifically for VITS returning students.
Okay.
So it looks at the combined household income, it looks at your academic transcript, it looks at your motivation as to why you are not able to pay. The motivation also covers why perhaps your academic transcript might be as unimpressive as it looks,
yes,
because sometimes
stress
academic
related
issues are financial issues. It looks at the year of study that you're in. There are people who are bound to graduate. You know, you have your final year engineers, final year medical students. So, and then the last criteria is based on the discretion of the committee.
Okay.
So there are those criteria that we look at, and we try our best to interrogate to make sure that money goes to who deserves it the most.
So people, you guys pick the people, the students from the outstanding things. So students who are currently, because we have quite a few students who come to us still via the DMs on country duty, asking for funding. So if we send them to you, would you guys still be able to help those students? Like if we direct them to you guys.
No, I mean, obviously, if students are coming to you, you must give them what they are coming to you for.
Obviously, look, Country Duty is also trying what we can do. But we also have our resources are also limited, mm-hmm, you know. So I just want to know that do you guys give me permission if somebody from VITS comes and says, I owe 27,000 Rand, I'm a third year student, can I send them to Uridiretse, go with SRC and say, go talk to the president?
Yes,
and he will
I mean, help we welcome any query that comes from one of our students in terms of how the SRC can assist them. So you're more than welcome to do that. But can I also stress the fact that we don't feel that the fund that we've established is enough. It's not exhaustive,
yeah,
of the needs of students, you know.
Okay.
So at VITS, we have the university's discretionary fund.
Yes.
You have the humanitarian fund, which is also an SRC fund. Then you have the Sizofuna Ngenkani fund, which is the fund that we established and named to those purposes. But these funds, unfortunately, are not enough. There are students who are owing excess amounts.
Yes.
There are students who need accommodation. There are students who need meals. And so there's no way that you're going to cater for a community of 37 plus students.
Yes.
And, you know, still accommodate their accommodation, their food, and their tuition fees.
For the current year as well.
And here we're talking about, you know, students who are returning. We're not including the cohort of first-time entering, because that is to the tune of about 6,000 new entrants.
I hear you. I mean, so and it's important that, and this is the purpose of you guys coming, amongst other things, telling people what you're doing. More importantly, you also need assistance insofar as saying you want to grow that fund and ensure that, you know, the more people contribute towards that, it means there'll be more access to people who ordinarily would not be able to come through it. So what is it that people can do and assist you guys insofar as funding? If someone is listening at gym or podcast or at the office and says, you know, I've listened to, you know, the Vets SRC, this is a great initiative, I'm an alumni, or I think I want to put it towards this course. What is it that you guys think, or what is it that people can do to contact you, and what help do you need?
Sure, and I mean, a lot of times the help is not primarily, it's not only financial, right?
Yeah.
So, if there are people, for example, who can house students, if there are people who can contribute financially, if there are people who can contribute whatever material resource that they have at their disposal, we'd be more than willing to accept those. We have our Twitter page where you can contact us. It's @vits_SRC. You can go to that Twitter page. You can email us at src.president@students.ac.za. You can physically come to our campus and have a personal engagement with our SRC at the East Campus, Bramfontein Main Campus, second floor, Matrix Student Union Building. And any way that you can, that you're able to contact us, I mean, you can have the contacts of the SRC spokesperson, Sandlam Torjua, 079-396-4320.
Yeah.
And yeah, any kind of assistance that anyone is willing to come forward with, would be more than happy to accept. Right now, obviously, primarily, the assistance that we might need is a financial one. But I can assure you that there are students who come to our offices who might have a room but don't have blankets.
Yeah.
We have that kind of program going on. We have a VITS community and outreach program that accepts, on behalf of students, food packages, food parcels, and so on and so forth. So really, any sort of support that people can provide. Unfortunately, I can't give our account numbers.
Of course, no, we don't want that now. This is we're living in a very interesting age of technology and stuff. And in my view, you risk it with details, and then this will then create problems.
Sure.
But one of the questions that's coming in is, you know, how does this include high school students, for example, who can't get their results because of outstanding balance? So what effectively it means is there's a first year and the person then needs to go to second year, but because they have not settled their fees in first year and somewhat they came in, what is it? I mean, how does that help? Do you guys come in? Will they then fall into this discretionary fund type of thing? What's your view?
Sure. So like I said, the fund looks a lot at returning students.
Okay.
So if someone was doing their first year at Vits University last year and is unable to register this year because of the outstanding balances, they are our primary focus.
Sure.
And we try our best to assist. In some cases, Vits University, not in some cases, in most cases, the university allows a student to be able to register provided they can pay 50% of their outstanding balance. Yeah. And so that is the most effective part of the process, because then we come in to say, you know what, if you are owing 50,000, we can pay 25,000 for you so that you can be able to register for the academic year of 2018. But like I said, this fund is not exhaustive, because at the end of the day, this person is still owing funds. In 2019, they'll still come back and they'll still be in dire financial need.
Yeah.
And so those are some of the things that we're looking at, is the sustainability of funding, the financial woes of returning students and students who are already within the system.
Sure. No, I think people are listening and people are always eager to assist students. I mean, end of the day, if we get this education right, it basically means people can stop depending on the state. It means that there's income tax that can sustain us and help. So this is an appeal to all our listeners, people on Twitter, anywhere where you're listening in the world, given the extent of technology. Do get in touch with the Vets SRC. The handle is @vets_SRC. You can also contact us, #countryduty, @countryduty.za, and we will escalate and liaise with the Vets SRC and ensure that we make a difference in the communities that we live in. I'm appealing also to people who are, you know, corporate SA, who may be listening and are in need of this, you know, using those funds that are surpluses and excess. This is the time. The financial year ends are approaching, so use those funds that are set in your accounts for good causes and ensure that you make a difference in a student's life. And yeah, Vets SRC, thank you for coming through.
Just before you guys go, Sanabo says, great respect to the utterances of the current Vets SRC president for giving credit is due insofar as the Department of Education. We thank you so very much for actually going out and doing your country duty and going the extra mile. It's a great stuff that you guys are doing.
Thank you, guys, and thank you for having us.
No
great stuff.
This is CliffCentral.com.